Onward now with Greater LA from KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Here in California, there are four desalination plants sucking water out of the Pacific Ocean and turning it into water that you can drink. And the California Coastal Commission recently approved two more, one down in Dana Point in the OC and another up near Monterey. Well, back in 2020, this same commission advised not to build that Monterey plant, citing environmental justice concerns and ecological impacts. But since then, the state has faced its driest 3 years on record, and the search is on for ways to generate more potable water in California as other means get depleted. So, does desalination of ocean water and other salt water figure heavily into California's future? David Feldman is a professor of urban planning and public policy and poli-sci over at UC Irvine. Professor, welcome.
Pleasure to be with you.
Desalination is usually used in places where there's not a lot of rain, right? Dry, desert climates. I can think of Israel. I can think of places in the Middle East. That certainly describes a lot of California in the year 2022. So remind us what the arguments are for and against desalination here.
When you live in an area that doesn't have much water supply and you don't have many alternatives, desalination is an appealing option. So that's pretty much the pro. Cons, many. Environmental impacts. What do you do with the brine? How do you dispose of it safely? What do you do about the entrapment or entrainment of certain marine organisms? That's a concern in desalination. And the energy required for the desalination process, which could affect the climate, as we know, depending on the source of the energy, and the cost of the water that comes out of desalination processes is still fairly expensive by conventional standards.
I mentioned the desal plant that is likely to go up in Monterey. This particular plant doesn't seem to have universal local support or any buy-in from environmentalists. Obviously, there was a lot of brouhaha with the Coastal Commission before they made the about-face and then approved it. Why are people in that community against it?
There's a couple of reasons that have been noted. One is the fact that the people in the immediate vicinity of where the plant is going to be built, they will probably not be the major recipients of the water, that much of the water generated will go to other more populated areas. In addition, they will be, the words that they use, burdened with the rates that will probably increase. And they will be responsible, at least in part, for paying off the cost of constructing the plant. And then there are the environmental and societal impacts. The communities in which the plant is scheduled, slated to be built, are populated by some underrepresented groups, and they feel that there are aesthetic issues with the plant, and also that it will inhibit access to the beach for recreation.
So conversely, the desal plant down in Dana Point in Orange County has been considered a success story, right? Because the community there embraced it. Why do you think the reaction down there was so different?
Yeah, so, you know, I think this is a very good lesson in the importance of public engagement in both cases. In the case of Dana Point, this is a community in which there are not a whole lot of other options for water supply. The Colorado River, as we know, limited, and over time is going to become more limited. So desalination has some appeal on that front. And the techniques that are being employed by that plant basically ensure that the entrapment of marine organisms is very unlikely.
Can we talk a little bit about how much a desal plant, how much water a desal plant can make? Does it make enough water to really make a difference, one plant?
It certainly can. Of course, there are trade-offs. Whenever you have a plant that can produce a great amount of water, the likelihood is that you're going to depend almost solely on that source of water. And what if there should be a mechanical breakdown? And for some period of time, the plant would have to be shut down for maintenance or repair. And this raises a question that, as you know, a lot of water agencies raise when you talk about desalination as an option. And that is, they'll tell you that they like diversification. you want to have many options so that if anything happens to intrude on the operation of this single technology, you have some plan B.
Let's talk about the process and the technology that the desal plants use. The process to take the salt and other impurities out of the water is called reverse osmosis. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a filter, right, in your home that does something similar, obviously to not a desal extent, but something similar. How has the technology improved, do you think, Professor, over the years? And has that made desal any cheaper or any more viable?
Over time, the reverse osmosis process has become considerably refined. The barriers that are used, the membranes, as they call them, that are used to force the water into the process and to remove the salts and other contaminants have become much more efficient in their design. What that means is that you can produce much more fresh water with less electricity as an input. So over time, that's making reverse osmosis gradually more efficient. And of course, as it becomes more efficient, the comparative cost of generating desalinated water will go down.
What do you think the water supply, the water system, will look like 20 years from now? Are we going to have enough, do you think?
We can if we use the water wisely. And that means that we aggressively recycle and reuse wastewater. And let me add that if we reuse wastewater, we can also reuse it to different grades. So, for example, we don't have to purify it for drinking. We can use it for landscaping. We can even use it for agriculture. And then we can save our precious drinking water in that way. So that's one thing that we can do. We can do a better job of rainwater harvesting. There's a lot of rain that simply flows to the ocean. We could do a more effective job of harvesting that water. Certainly in Los Angeles, the adoption of Measure W a few years back, which is now being gradually instituted, will, I think, really help Los Angeles County in terms of finding ways of harvesting and storing and reusing water when it does rain. So these are things that can be done. And I think, again, more aggressive conservation. We need to give some serious thought to our landscaping in Southern California and the best means of having a landscaping that suits the environmental conditions that we find ourselves in.
Well, it's certainly going to be on a lot of minds going forward, this water situation here in California and around the world, for that matter. Dave Feldman, professor of urban planning and public policy and poli-sci over at UC Irvine. Dave, professor, thank you so much.
It's been a real pleasure.